show your card. I saw somebody on Instagram say this the other day. He said, look, we waited all this time to get this shot. Y'all don't want to get it. That's fine. Nope. You can hot step your way everywhere you want to go to. No planes, trains, automobiles for you. You can walk. Okay. You want to be hard headed, you can walk.
That's fine. You know, it's like that, bro. In order to get on a plane or to go across country, what do you have to have? A passport. Nobody argues with that, but whatever. Don't get the shot then, bro. Don't get the shot. But I'm going to go around living my jolly life. Flash, here's my card. Let me in this basketball game.
Now, I will say this. I don't know how many big places or events that you've been to since this all came down, but I have put the Moderna to the test a few times, and I came out Vegas clean. Okay, but when I tell you, I went to Vegas, and I just there are several places that I went as a kid. Like, my dad was really good about taking us all around the country, all around the world. Right? It's funny, when I was in Vegas. Randomly, a friend of mine from, you know, a few lives back was sending me pictures of the first time I was in Vegas for a basketball tournament, right? Back in, like, I don't know, in high school, Michigan high school, but still high school nonetheless. So I'm in Vegas. I'm coming down the escalator in the hotel that I'm staying at, which is not, it wasn't like the Caesars Palace or anything like that, but it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm on the strip. It's a decent spot. And I'm just like, well, this is the worst place on the planet. And it's like every other place that I went to, you know, I was like, oh, this place, Vegas is, it's got to be the worst place on, in my opinion, one of the worst places that people actually want to go and have a good time. It's incredibly hot. And it's just, everything is like, it's like plastic. And everything is like that. It's like from somewhere else.
It's not real. Yeah. So I've been to Vegas 2 or 3 times. I can't recall. One time was with a girlfriend of mine at the time. And then another time. So maybe 2 times. Another time I was with, was that 3? I don't know. Either way, another time I was with our good friend Ty, right? Anyway, mm-hmm. So I'm free, like, you know, single, etc. Dude, you can't even talk to a woman out there.
Oh, it's fruitless. It's a fruitless endeavor.
Like, and that was the time when I was like, all right, I'm not coming back until I'm like with someone. Like,
yeah. And see, I will say this
in a different way.
Of all the times that I went to Vegas, sub the basketball one, right? Like, the basketball one, that doesn't count because I was there playing basketball. But of all the times I went to Vegas, this was by far the best time I've had in Vegas. And so I've realized what the key is. It's private events. That's the key to Vegas, is doing things privately and roping yourself off and paying for the VIP experience, which I did not pay for, but I was with people who were paying for the VIP experience. It was funny because I got there Friday afternoon. I was like, all right, I got a long night ahead of me. Let me go down to the little hotel restaurant and get some food real quick. So I went down there and I'm sitting at the bar by myself, and the waitress is making conversation with me, and she says, what are you in town for? Or just, you know, here to hang out. It's like, you know, and like, who's in Vegas by themselves, right? Like, you're by yourself? I'm like, sorta. I'm here for my boss's birthday party though. So I'm not gonna, like, I'm not gonna party by myself, but I'm definitely staying by myself. And she's like, oh, what's the plans for you? And your boss's birthday sounds like, you know, that's kind of weird. It's like, oh yeah, he's having a roast at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. And she was like, huh? Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah. And then they rented out some restaurant Saturday night, and we're going to be, she's, oh, it's in a restaurant. I was like, oh, I had to look it up. No one looked it up. It's called Major Domo Meat and Fish, which, first of all.
I imagine.
I was like, oh, my God. This was one of the best meals I've had literally in the last two, 3 years.
Any place that's that has meat and fish, or meat or fish or whatever in the name of the restaurant, is either extremely bad or like top of the line. You know,
and
like,
there is no middle. And I'll give you this. Here's a trick. If you're ever in this environment where it's just kind of like open food, open bar, and you're in a really nice place, right? Follow the offensive lineman. Cause I was talking to Jeff Schwartz as I was going through This guy had me sampling everything. He had me sampling every single delicacy. Like every time the person walked past, but somebody's like, "Oh wait, what's that? Oh wait, what's that?" And I'm over here just whirlwinding, and it's just like, but listen, when I tell you, when we finally sat down, we had everything. People were walking past. It's like, "Where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that from?" And I didn't have any answers. I was like, "You got to follow the man." I followed the man who knows it. The man with the plan, because that dude knew how to do it. But no, I had a blast. But I just, as my Vegas remarks is like, I feel like the moments in which I wasn't kind of with the party, where I was kind of in Gen Pop, Vegas is like America's Walmart. Now you go to Walmart, there's all types of people in a Walmart, right? Yeah. The other one is like, you go to Walmart, there's all types of people in a Walmart. There's all types of people in Las Vegas. I think that if you were to take somebody who had never experienced America and you wanted them to go and see what an American person is like, and you spent them a week in Vegas, they would have a holistic, like from the range, the whole gambit, they would have a holistic experience of what, not necessarily the American experience, but they will be able to talk intelligently about American people.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, dude, most of the homeless people that are in Vegas went to Vegas for a good time and ended up with the complete opposite.
So I have no knowledge of, I don't know.
It's the truth. I mean, I think the majority of the homeless population that's in Vegas were once people that were not, I mean, they didn't start out homeless. They weren't born homeless, but they ended up in Vegas, tried to make a little money and ended up not making money, and you can't leave, you can't go home. But all that to say, I think you tweeted it, maybe it may be in the notes. I would never want to live in Vegas though.
Oh my goodness.
I would never. If I'm a resident, I'm moving out. Like,
I have two friends, one from high school in Louisiana and one from college, who both live in the Vegas area, and I'm just like, dude, like, it is so hot out here and it's just nothing to do. And I'll tell you this, the last thing about this Vegas trip, you know, you Google it, right? You Google LA to Vegas, 4 hours, it says. Now I know that where I live in LA, that 4 hours could easily be 6 hours because it's going to take me that long to get across LA, right? So I'm budgeting for like 5.5. Get there in five, feeling like good.
2 hours away. Not to cut you off, sorry. I said the movies make it seem like, because I've never done that trip, make it seem like it's 2 hours away, like it's right up the street. They're like, "Oh yeah, I'm in LA. I'm gonna go to Vegas."
I will say this: the drive there isn't crazy, especially if you leave at the right time. Because true, I found my little Fast and the Furious crew, so I'm pacing behind some guys who are going a cool 105. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I found some guys in between Barstow and the state line, California. So I made pretty good time during that stretch. But TK, let me tell you, that drive back will turn you from a man and from a boy to a man. Okay, that drive back will put hair on your chest. Listen, if Baker, California, which is pretty much the midway point, had anything at all for me to lay down and take a nap, I would have laid down and taken a nap. It's just, it was no way I could justify, because every time I got out of the car, it was so swelteringly hot at 115 degrees that it was like, it's like, yo, go in the shade and take a nap. No, indeed. There's no way I'm turning off this air conditioning. So I'm not about to lay in a car and take a nap with the air on and pump this $450 gas, right? Not a chance. Not a chance. So you know what I did?
You were moving that slow that you got out the car?
Oh, I pulled off. But TK, it took me like let's call Baker halfway between, right? It took me from 11 in the morning. I left at 11. I did not get to Baker until 4:30.
Yeah, that's wild.
So, in the time it took me to get from L.A. to Vegas, it took me halfway to get there. So, I got out of the car, and I promise you not, I took my shirt off because I was already, I took my shirt off and I did like gym class calisthenics. I did like 25 jumping jacks. I did some, you know, burpees, you know what I'm saying? Like, and just worked up a good little heartbeat, got a cup of coffee and said, all right, bro, we got to push it a little while longer. Let's see how much longer we can go. But I had to get my heart rate back up, bro. I was that tired where it was like, I'm over here doing like literal workouts in 110, you know what I'm saying? Hit like a jog around the store real quick just to, you know, man, I got to get the blood flowing and just kind of shake back because I feel terrible. And I got a good night of sleep the night before. I promise you. Like, I've been drinking, but I got a good night of sleep.
That's crazy. I've never not one time worked out mid-drive.
I tell you this. I've never, some of the drives that you do in California are not, they're not normal. They're not real. They're road trips that are not supposed to be. But yeah. You were talking about going to Vegas and blowing all your money. And you put this on the notes, and I love it when this happens because something also came across the timeline as well that coincided with the notes.
And I promise I did not get that from there. Like, because I got these notes randomly one night. Like, just
I'm about to say the timing just didn't work out. I mean, you posted this well before 22 hours ago. But we know that. They don't know that. But that's all right. Don't worry about our rap. There's no cap in it. But the tweet says, your best friend calls. Hey, I need $1,000 today. I can't explain why. And while I'll pay you back, I'm not really sure when. Can you help me out? And the question that you had initially asked was, what is it? If you loan someone some money, what is the time frame on asking them for the return? And what is the dollar limit that requires that inquiry? So I think that those questions pretty much go in tandem, right? Uh-huh. Because at the end of the day, I may or may not at any given moment have $1,000. I definitely don't have $1,000 to loan to anyone. So if I have, and that doesn't really matter about my current financial status in general, right? This $1,000, like at the lifestyle I'm currently at, somebody called me, asked me for $100. It would depend. But I will tell you this, to answer your question about what is the time frame when asking them on return, I'm never asking for it back. You just never ask me for anything ever again.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm never asking for it back. I'm not giving out. I'm not loaning money that I have to ask for back.
Not sure.
Right.
Sure. That, understandable.
Like, so I'm not giving you the $500 that I need to pay the books next week. Right. Mm-hmm. Especially not on some, hey buddy, I just need this or whatever. Now to me, if I'm in a situation in which I need to loan money, I'm addressing you in a way that says, hey, TK, I'm down 200. I'll have the 200 back on XYZ day, or I could give you 100 here and 100 there, or I could 50-50-50-50-50. We could set up this afterpay type situation. But I'm coming to you with the solution of repayment as I'm making the ask of the loan.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're responsible. So the initial tweet, well, my question was initial, but the tweet that followed up that said, they said they can't explain why. First of all, you don't really have to tell me why, but they can't. They say, I'm not going to tell you why. I don't know. You might get it back. Am I giving you $1,000? I don't care if I have $100,000 in my bank account that day. I'm probably not going to give you $1,000. Like straight up, like I don't invest in things blindly. You could be taking my $1,000 to make it $10,000, quote unquote. You know, like
All you need is a checking account or credit union.
Yeah, you know,
and like, a Facebook status.
Yeah. No, I'll pass. Like, so I mean, like you just said, it goes into just in general. Like $1,000 is gonna hit me as the person that wasn't born into money the same whether I have a whole bunch of money or not. You know, like I'll be honest, bro, I've been taking a look at and you know, you love sneakers, I love sneakers, I've been taking a look at a pair of designer sneakers just because I've been telling my wife, hey, yo, I kind of want to get a pair of designer sneakers just because, you know, like it's hot right now. You know, you can afford it a little bit, may got to save up for a few checks or whatever. But, you know, I've been looking at a couple pair of designer sneakers like, man, I might want to grab some. And every time, I promise you, every time I log into Alexander McQueen, Prada, Gucci, and I see that price tag, that $700 hits me the same whether I just got paid or I'm broke. Like, I look at it and I'm like, nah, let me go over to the sneakers app. I'll buy 3 pair of Jordans. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could get 3 pair of Jordans for the same $700 and it's going to hit the exact same because I'm not trying to impress none of y'all and Piggy don't care what I got on my feet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm frugal with my money like that, but it doesn't matter. If I got a whole bunch of money, I'm still going to be counting. Hey, let me 2 plus 2. Nope. You overcharged me a dollar. Like, you know, I'm sorry.
I've delved into, I have no designer shoes. You know what it is? I never had J's growing up. So I'm like, no, I'm going to buy J's now. Yeah. Like, forget you. I was told my whole life that these threes was cold. Deal, now y'all gonna get these threes, okay? Y'all gonna. That's just what it is. In fact, I was in a barbershop today, and a man complimented the barber on his threes. I want that same energy when I'm walking around in my threes because y'all been getting these compliments for 30 some odd years of my life. Mine only been in the last 5. Okay, so that's why. Yeah, I want them. I see you, bro. Don't nobody see you for real when you got the Alexander McQueens on in the same way.
Hey, don't that hit though? I ain't even gonna lie. Like we're gonna come back to you on your designer sneakers. But like, don't that feel great though? Like when somebody points at your feet and they like, hey, bro, those fresh. Like,
the one I like, hey, where you get them? Where you get them from? I got you, cuz. Little spot. Yeah, hey, around the corner. North.
Yeah, yeah, straight up. Just a little duck off. Cough.
Straight up. No, I've dealt with like a little bit of the designer like t-shirt thing. But, well, that's also because it's like in LA, it's all you have to wear is a t-shirt. So.
That's valid.
I can wear a t-shirt every day of the year. And then also I'm not wearing a designer t-shirt every day of the year. I'm wearing it when I go places or I have a nice strategic rotation to where it makes it look like I have more things going on than I do.
And then if you repeat, just don't take a picture, right?
Even if I do take a picture,
then who cares?
Even if I do take a picture, like
I hate that, bro. I hate that where we are in like as a society, like with that aspect where it's like, and I ain't gonna lie, I'm like that too. Like I'll look at my pictures or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I got a picture in these shoes, got a picture in these shoes. When I wear these again, I might want to get a picture, you know, blah blah blah. Right. Like I can't lie. I think about that or whatever. But it's crazy because growing up, I mean, I have always been into sneakers. I wouldn't necessarily classify myself as a sneaker head. I'm, you know, I like sneakers. I always have liked sneakers. I worked at the sneaker store, shout out to Finish Line, for a very long time. My grandfather always bought me sneakers. Like I was always into sneakers. I've had Jordans. I got my first pair in 97, the playoff 12s. That was 97, right? Yeah. Growing up, I've never been like the freshest man in the room. Like I've never been super fly. I've always been able to put clothes on. But like I remember in high school, bro, I pretty much wore the same clothes every week. And it wasn't like a big deal. Like nobody, who cares? You know, and that's still like that to the day. I wear the same shoe or the same, who cares? But like Instagram and the internet has drastically changed. These kids are going to school and like Dior's, bro. Like it's insane. It's insane.
I feel like though that when we were in high school, there were kids going to school in Pradas.
Yeah, I had some. I had some Pradas for sure.
JB. I did not. But JV sold you his Pradas.
He sold me some Pradas. Yeah.
Okay.
From what I put two and two together, I think they were basically somebody hitting
somebody else's Pradas. JV sold you somebody else's Pradas. Yeah.
It didn't matter to me. I low key missed them Pradas, especially now that I realize how much they truly, truly like cost. But I said this on Twitter because I watched a video on YouTube about Detroit street racing, what they've been doing, or not racing, but you know, they do the donuts,
mm-hmm.
car show essentially, right? I watched that today and I tweeted it today and I was just like, Detroit is like no other place in America. Originally, you're from New Orleans. I will say the same exact thing about New Orleans. I clown D Green all the time because he just always, anything New Orleans is like, yeah, that's New Orleans. That's, you know, but Detroit is the same way though. Like you, mm-hmm. like you said, there are kids going to school with us wearing Pradas, and but Detroit is like no other place, bro, in that aspect of clothing. I will say that, you know.
I'd say Detroit is a very interesting place. I always describe it as a place that has rules and a place that has laws. And sometimes the laws don't follow the rules, and sometimes rules don't follow the laws. But if you follow the rules, you'll almost always be you'll be A-okay. Yeah, you'll be fine. Like if you're rolling through certain stop signs, it's probably in your best, and nobody's gonna care. You know what I'm saying? But if you break the wrong rule, it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Stop at the wrong gas station, etc.
But
speaking of that, oh, go ahead. My bad.
No, I was just about to say, but also too, like I actually was in a text thread last night, and it was somebody texted, it was two of my younger frat brothers, and one of them texted and said, I stand corrected. And he said, Detroit women, top three, not two or three. Right. Cause we were having a debate at the time. He's like, man, there ain't no girls here. I'm like, bro, listen. What you have to understand is like you've been here a long time. You go out into the world and come back, and you'll see.
Yeah.
Like there's, you will develop an appreciation for the Detroit woman. Period. Stop. Like there's no doubt about it. And it was in this moment, he was texting back. He was like, yo, I get what you mean. It's like sometimes he's like. It's so much about like the attitude and the wherewithal and the heart and the way that the people are. I imagine you would have the same type of feelings about people from New Orleans. Like people, a lot of times somebody will tell a story and it'll be like, oh yeah, he was from New Orleans. I'll be like, oh yeah. That, because like other people be like, why he do that? And I'll be like, well, that makes, why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? Right. I'm like, well, what's the problem? Where's the beef? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm realizing that, you know, it's because people born in Southern Louisiana have a slight tick, you know, and it's just, but being in those two places, like it's one of the things that I realized because I saw it. It brings me back to a Twitter thread that I saw from somebody of my friends in college who was kind of like, yo, like, not like kind of bashing people who were big into like the African stuff, like African, like kente cloth rather. And all that. But it's kind of like, she's like, yo, how come, like in the episode of Sam J, how come all y'all, you know, African hat wearing folks, kufi wearing folks got these white girls with you? Like what's going on? Like, why are you trying to find your, I responded to her and I was like, it's something I've always been curious about. But I realized like both of the places that I spent most of my time growing up are very unique and very individual and very like you know, somebody from, like, in fact, I was going through my phone today looking at pictures and I saw a picture of me and my sister at Mardi Gras with three random people from Detroit. And I remember taking a picture with them because I was like, you're from Detroit, aren't you? And he was like, how did you know? He was like, how did you know? I was like, you can tell when you're flying back to Detroit, who's going to be on the flight with you. You know what I'm saying? But like if you were born in Iowa or, you know, Kansas City or, you know, I don't know, Kansas or, you know, Wyoming, where do you identify with?
I don't know. I don't know at all. But that brings me to another thing that I put on the notes, though, is some of your possible like favorite pastimes or things to do, like when you're, you know, you're just hanging out. because speaking of Detroit, one of mine is 100%. First of all, I spend the majority of my viewership on YouTube. I watch everything on YouTube. Not like the conspiracy stuff, but just, I mean, there's so many videos of just everything out there. But another thing that I enjoy to watch though is Detroit hood flicks, Detroit hood movies, i.e. Buffed Up. They have a show that I text you about that's on Prime Video. It's called McGraw Ave.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for that. It looks absolutely terrible. Like, I'll tell you like this. Like, with all due respect, it looks like something that, like, some of the projects that my sister was in early in her acting career. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like now she's starting to get picked up at a little, like, it's not, and I obviously, all I saw was the trailer, right? So when I say it looks terrible, I have no idea about the acting, no idea about the stories. It could be compelling. Like, I'm not giving it any fair shot whatsoever. It's just certainly, when you see this, and you can even have shows shot on an iPhone, but if it looks like it's shot on an iPhone, that's the problem. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, bro, the acting is always going to be mediocre. They have like the same dude in like all the hood flicks named Murder Payne, but I actually like him. He's pretty solid. The thing about, like, and not to turn this into a Detroit podcast, but the thing about like the culture of Detroit is, like, if you appreciate and like the culture, it doesn't matter how bad the film is, because you're more so wrapped up in like the culture that is the city.
You know, I will say, I'll give it a shot, because I know this. All that I listen to now is Detroit music. That's it. especially now that my mainstream music is starting to sound more like Detroit music, and Detroit music has always sounded like this. There's always been a guy banging his elbows on the piano at the start of a Detroit classic song.
Do no 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 do. Like, yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. Like, every one of all of that, all of those are piano beats, or it starts out like, but I'll be honest, like, now I'm be on Apple Music. Like, if I don't hear like Hell of a Made It, like, I don't
want to hear it. No, it's crazy though. How like fashion as well as just like music and inspirations, I guess, kind of like circle and do a I don't know, they do their runs, I guess. They go on a run. Because, like, right now, the city of Detroit is on a run. Like, Cartier frames, bro. Like,
yeah.
15 years ago, nobody outside of the city of Detroit even knew really what Buffy's were, like, at all. And now, it's hard to even identify who's who or where you from. Like you said, you know, 15 years ago, if you on a plane to Detroit, everybody got on a pair of Buffs. I know you going to the city. But now, people wearing Cartiers, and it's like, I don't know. Are you from Detroit, or are you just appropriating the culture?
I've long said I don't need glasses, right? I thought I didn't need glasses. I went and I got my eyes checked. Apparently, I have astigmatism. The glasses that they gave me, made my vision worse. So I'm like, I took them off. I see you just fine. I can read. That's 4, 3. You know, I'm getting busy. Okay, driving at night is tough, so I just don't do it. But if I ever need glasses full time, I don't care what the style is in the world, they will be some straight back woods, not Buffs, because I'm gonna wear them every day. They're gonna be my glasses. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they're going to be my everyday. This is what I wear to work. This is what I wear to school. This is what I wear to pick the kids up from daycare. But they will be a pair of straight back woods. Like, with the glass, yeah, with just the glass, with the no frame, the rimless woods. Because, I mean, listen, I don't know. Maybe it's just because back in 2006, 2007, there were people getting killed over those glasses. That is true. I'm sure I shouldn't laugh like that. But back in that day, like, you know, that was a deal. That was the situation. Those were the ones that everybody wanted, and those are the ones that I want. Because at this point, I actually can maybe potentially afford them. I haven't looked at a price in ages. But
three bands, like 3,000 to 3,000.
I'll just have to get some insurance. I mean, but that's the other thing. I would have insurance. I have vision insurance.
100%.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're not necessarily doing this in the parking lot of West Bloomfield High School, as the most of the Cartier deals I witnessed occurred. Very few in-store purchases.
Yeah, got my wires from the parking lot. Then I ended up getting robbed for them.
There's a pair of wire Cartier frames in, I don't know where they are now, actually. They used to be in Michigan, but he sold the house. They're somewhere in a box.
Yeah, right. There you go, man. Get old city. So I did put this in the notes too. It's like super, super random, but that's what this show is. So, worst job ever and random dream job. Like, and I don't mean like, oh, I wanted to
be man. So somebody just texted me, wait, time out. Somebody just texted me, said, what are buffs? Buffs are Cartier frames.
What?
Okay. Buffs are Cartier frames, and the most recent iteration of buffs on the national stage. Just go watch the NBA draft. You'll see Cade Cunningham selected first overall, and he pulled the buffs out. But you know what? People on Twitter made a good point. You have to earn the white buffs.
Yeah.
You have to earn the straight back white marble buffs, okay?
Yeah.
And I believe it's been so long. At one point, I looked them up, but I believe they're called buffs. There's something to do with buffalo. It's like supposed to be like the...
They are. Buffalo frame.
Yeah. That's why they're called buffs.
You can go to the Cartier website and look at them. In the city of Detroit, most people, I believe, get their yays from Hutch's Jewelry. I've never been there, but that's like the go-to spot. They fix them up.
Again, most people I saw get their Cartier glasses got it in the parking lot of West Bloomfield High School.
That's valid. Same way, that's where I got my products.
But I forgot the question you asked me before I got that text.
Oh, I just threw something out there. I said, random dream
job. Well, honestly, I'm in the process of trying to acquire it. So if I get it, I'll make an announcement on this podcast. How about that?
No. That's not what I'm saying. I say, when I say random dream job, I mean like mine was, of course, I could say like I want to be in the NFL or I want to play.
I know what you mean already. I mean, I wanted to be a taxi driver.
Yeah, something that you would not really do.
I wanted to play two things. I wanted to be a bartender, which I haven't done. I wanted to be a bartender. I haven't done that. I wanted to be a taxi driver. I thought being a taxi driver would be like a cool job. And so I drove Uber for like 2 years.
And realized that it was not a cool job.
But I mean, I feel like I got my fix.
Yeah, so what was your experience with Uber like then?
I was doing it at Michigan, in University of Michigan. So it was very like, you know, there would be times I'd pick people up that I had recognized or like, you know, because I was just a few years out of school myself. So I wasn't like the whole thought process behind those two jobs is I thought they were cool because you kind of like were front facing, you had to talk to people in the same way that, I don't know, maybe it's the same way I lean into this radio hosting stuff like that, just being able to connect with people at your job. But like nobody was really talking to me in the back of the Uber when they just wanted to hear like, can you play Miley Cyrus? And I'm just like, yeah, no. This car doesn't have an aux. You got to think of the people I'm picking up at the University of Michigan on a Thursday night.
I drove Uber as well. It wasn't quite 2 years. It was, I don't know, maybe it was random. The thing I will say about Uber is I applaud the Uber drivers, Uber, Lyft, shit, taxi. Just because like you have to be in a serious, like different mind state to know that I'm gonna get in my car. I have no idea of really what the destination is. I can pick the time that I'm done, but only really roundabout, because if you pick somebody up, and you got to take them an hour away or 45 minutes away, then that's what you got to do. So so you can pick a roundabout time, but for the most part, you're stepping into your car and turning it into like your business. Whereas like your car is usually your luxury, like a luxury thing, I guess. And you're turning it into a business. So it's like, it's a different mental space to be in, man. I didn't really enjoy it that much. I didn't like having to get gas all the time and running my miles up on my car. I ran my miles up crazy. And I was like, nah, this ain't it. Because everything in Dallas is spread apart, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why I no longer do those jobs. But I did, you know, to your overarching point, those are the ones that I did want to do, like, as a kid growing up. But I think they all fall into the same realm of a job and where you're kind of in front of people and talking to people. And that's kind of like the situation. And I don't know. I think that was always the lean for me.
Yeah. Growing up, of course, this episode is wavy. So for myself, I always had like a whole bunch of random stuff that I would just be like super interested in. One, it may be, I don't know, maybe one of those, but I wanted to be like an actor, I guess. Like, I definitely want, like, I knew I was never going to execute that. It wasn't a real like goal, but it was, I just wanted to be like in a movie or something like that. I love movies. I love things like that. And another is like construction. Like, and I know that's achievable, like, just like being a taxi driver is achievable, but like, I wanted to, like, you know, like, cause I always had an admiration for the guys in the vest that was like laying concrete and stuff like that, like, and building homes and stuff, just because I don't know how to do it. Like, I can hammer a nail, sure. But overall, like, I ain't building too much of shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's always just, like, you know, to see that.
That's all you, pal. That is, I have no desire to build my own house.
I'm not going to.
No, I'm just saying, like, quote unquote, like, you know, quote unquote, build my own house. Like, you know, what is, you know, men, you know, the old saying, I don't subscribe to it, but the idea of, you know, men say, what do you bring to the table? Women say, did you build the table? Like, I have no desire to build the table. I'll bring things to the table that's pre-built. Okay. Like, I'll go to the store and then bring some things to the table.
My mom told me, like, so as a younger kid, and I still kind of struggle with this, just a transparent moment of like, if I get frustrated, I'm like, this, I don't want to do this, man. You know, like, cause it'll frustrate me, right, or whatever. So I would build things, you know, i.e. a computer desk or something for my little sister. You know, I'm 13 years older than her, and so, you know, I'm sure I helped put a crib or something together, right? And it would be frustrating at times. And so my mom told me at a young age, yo, you're either going to be the guy that is paying somebody else to do things for you, or you're going to do it yourself. And when she said it, I think her goal was to like put me in the mental state of like, all right, I'm going to go out there and do it myself. I looked her square in the face and I was like, I'm going to pay.
like it's I'm all about my mental. Like, it's the time benefit analysis. Should I fly or drive? It's the time benefit analysis. Time cost. Should I fly or drive? How much stress is doing this going to cause me? Yes, like, and how much money can I afford to not have that stress?
Straight up. I mean, now as I've become a man and I'm, you know, 30. I'll be 31 next month. I have gotten a lot better with like doing things that are achievable on my own, where it's like, you know, like the crib and in the room I put together, the dresser put together, you know, stuff like, you know, hey, might be frustrating at times or whatever. As a matter of fact, last night I just put together a monitor stand for my wife in her woman cave, she called it. But all that to say that I'm still kind of the same though. Like, I'll try it, but if it doesn't work out,
okay. I'm not stressing about it. I'm not about to lose any sleep over this, pal. None.
Not even a little bit. So I see. I would ask the question. Yeah. So which are you? But you've already told me.
I put together a lot though in here, but I'm decently handy, but there's like, I that's what I know myself. Like, I can fix the dishwasher probably, but like if it's not fixed in step three, I'm not going to step four. I'm calling somebody else.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I can't do it. I like you said, I'd rather save my mental health, man. And I'll find another way to get it done, or I'll ask somebody for help. I mean, if I might not be able to do it, but I'll know somebody that can do it. You know what I mean?
I'm definitely the man that asked for help. So believe that.
Ask somebody for help, dude. There's people out here that's really like halfway struggling because they won't inquire and say, hey, do you know how to do this? Or can you help me with this? Hey, utilize your resources. That's key. That's key to life.
Right. I'm telling you. My last random thing that I have today. Water bottles with this type of top are the worst. Why do I have a pacifier top on this water bottle? Why? Why?
Say, you look like my daughter.
You look like a kid. Like, and then you can't even drink it without like, you know, I'm all I want is a sip of water. That's it. You hear my voice? I've been talking for an hour straight. All I want is a sip of water. And I say it sound like I'm sucking on a pacifier. I hate it here.
No, those Gatorade, the ones that came with the little, they were always the worst. Like, who invented this? I think it was so that you could, like, waterfall. Do you call it a waterfall? What do you call it?
Oh, whatever. Sure.
You know, if somebody says to you, hey, let me have some of that, what do you call it?
You guys called it waterfall and you got to Michigan, but there was never, it was just, let me get some. Here.
I'm not sure that we called it waterfall in Michigan. Like, that's kind of a new thing. I was more so, yeah, let me hit that.
I will say this. The thing before that people used to do in Michigan beforehand. Like, if somebody asked me for my thing, I'll just be like, you can have it, bro. Like, I don't want it that much. But the concept of this right here. Mm-hmm. And they handed it back to somebody. And for those who are watching, it's the idea that I just poured this thing that was brand new to me when I got to Michigan High School.
People didn't do that in Louisiana?
I wasn't giving myself to people. If somebody asked me, can I get some of that? I'd be like, you just had the rest of it, bro. Here. You can't get your own. Take it.
We share it all the time. It would always be like, hey, yo, let me hit that, bro.
No.
Now, with COVID, I'm pretty sure that's got to be the end of the let me, because I can't tell you the last time I really hit somebody else's beverage, like that wasn't my significant other. Like I can't tell you the last time I tasted a drink that belonged to another person. Nonetheless, a man.
I don't do that with anybody. Mine is mine. What's yours is yours. But that's quite important.
I mean, my wife shares everything. To the point where it could be annoying at times, because it's like, yo, like you have the ability to get a glass and you would be able to enjoy it a lot more, but you know.
But yep, but
yeah, switch sign up. But yeah, man, nah. Shout out to the D. I feel like today was definitely a heavily Detroit focused pod, but. Man, I haven't been to Michigan in 4 years.
I've been to the twice in at least three. I just was just there. Yeah, I've spent enough time in Michigan, but I do have to run because I'm about to go to the Drew League All-Star game. So
somebody's flexing. Well, to close this,
I just got to run. Sorry,
I do want to say real quick, and I meant to say this in the beginning of the podcast. But one of our friends from high school passed, Brielle Edwards, this week. So I do want to send condolences to her family. They may or may not ever hear this. But regardless, we have a platform, and she was a really good person. So to keep up with us on all things social, make sure you follow us at So Let Me Ask You This on all things social. It is just a you. Other than that, until then, till the next time, y'all be safe. You know what I mean? Wear your mask and go get vaccinated.
And to your point, rest in peace, Brielle. I knew her for a long time.